My name's Eric Menzel. I was born in Okinawa, Japan, on an Air Force base. Moved around a lot in a military family. Ended up in Iowa as a young child, second grade, I believe, we moved here. And so I think Iowa basically shaped my personality, I could say that. And came from a family, large family, have four siblings, Catholic, divorced parents. Siblings are all over the country, like a lot of families do these days. And I was one of those people as well. I moved around quite a bit, lived in California, Washington State, Colorado, Oklahoma, Illinois, just all around doing jobs and doing school. Looking for something that I believed in, where I felt like I belonged to. The places were fascinating and beautiful and exciting a lot of times, but I always felt like the people that were my people were back here. I always felt most comfortable thinking about Iowa as home and not creating a new home in a different cultural setting. So it was always my thought process to come back. And I finally did that. It was in a roundabout way I came to farming, was to come back home, which is Iowa, which is a farming place, but I never was involved in farming until returning for good. I farm pretty much exclusively. I used to do other jobs while I did it, but my wife has got a good job and she affords my meager income to happen without me doing extra work. It's kind of a hard position to be in because you wanna really do what you do well, and if you're parsing yourself out to different outlets, you find everything's compromised. So you wanna obviously I wanna provide for my family, but building this farming business is incremental, and I need to keep building it instead of doing it halfway over time because I feel like that is just a stagnant place. So I'm lucky enough to keep progressing with this business, and we farm a small acreage of 5 acres with the additional supplemental space and opportunity to work on neighbors' land, and we raise vegetables organically, and we raise chickens and turkeys on pasture, and some small fruit. I am also working on rehabilitating an orchard at the neighbor's property. Some of the things that I do are quality of life choices, like we milk a cow. It's not something I do for business. It's a little extra income sometimes, but mostly it's just the fact that we get to have delicious milk and milk byproducts from our own cow. So that's what we produce, and we sell those goods to individuals through farmers market, through CSA, which is Community Supported Agriculture, which has become pretty common and popular around the country. Also to restaurants and in some cases just independent chefs that are doing events and the like. I've always been involved with growing food, preparing food. My mom worked, us kids were at home. We had to learn how to cook at a young age, kind of fend for ourselves in that way. So you became inventive in the kitchen, sometimes to mixed results, but it was good because you got familiar with it and you got familiar with the way things worked and didn't work, and you learned the parts of the food that is grown that you are eating and the parts that get discarded. And later in life I went into professional cooking, and I already, I didn't need to be explained to what the parts of the food were, and I learned quite a bit later, but I had a head start on that. And then we were always growing things, and we were always canning things, and we were always, food was a vehicle by which our family and lots of families participate and commune together and do activities. And it's always just been a vibrant element of my life. What led me to that epiphany was the fact that the food that I was eating and was available to me was terrible. To me, it was terrible. It was a terrible quality, and anything of high quality was either too expensive or I just couldn't get my hands on it. What was bothering me about the food was it wasn't fresh. It didn't really taste like much. In many cases, I had started to learn about the production processes, but I also started to learn that there's so many pesticides involved, and I didn't trust that. I never had been a chemical guy, so that worried me. In terms of the meat, I just knew too much. I mean, I knew how it was, the animals were raised in the conditions that they were raised, and then I knew the process by which they were slaughtered, and the packaging and the transportation, and the whole system was geared towards a food that was replicable and distributable, but had nothing to do with nutrition or quality. It had everything to do with money and, I guess, mass scale. I've always grinded against that concept. You know, I suppose I was like a budding socialist in college, but I'm all for, you know, capitalism. But you know, it was just I could just feel it in my bones that it was wrong. And on the one hand, and on the other hand, I just tasted terrible. And in many cases, it made me sick, not to the point where I was hospitalized or vomiting or anything, but just queasy, you know. It's just like, this isn't how you're supposed to feel after you eat. And I know a lot of people in this day and age would blame that on something else, you know, like, oh, I need to take a pill because I have this condition, you know, oh, I have irritable bowel or whatnot, I have these allergies. But I'm pretty certain that the environment that we're in have created these ailments that we are dealing with and trying to medicate ourselves for. So I felt that way then, too. And so coming to that epiphany was just natural for me. And I began, I guess, abstaining from food. You know, it was like the list of things that I could eat were growing shorter and shorter. And I felt like I was being backed into a corner. And like soon enough, it was like bread and water for me. You know, I just couldn't stomach a lot of the things that I was faced with. And so I just knew that something had to give. And for me to do something about my dilemma, I felt like I had to be the one that produced the food that I wanted to eat. I've always worked hard. Working hard is actually fun for me because it keeps me busy and mentally and spiritually and physically. I don't like working not hard, but the hard work has to be satisfying, you know, and gratifying. So the fact that I'm really invigorated by the concept of feeding people and of the kind of response you get, this movement or whatever you want to call it is not going anywhere except forward. You know, it's really happening, and it's not some alternative thing. It's an obvious connection that people have, that people need. And I really enjoy like facilitating or being a catalyst towards that. So the hard work is actually some of the stuff I like the most about it. I mean, obviously, I don't like to be stressed about finances, but we get this huge side benefit of having an abundance of food to eat all the time, of the best quality food that you could possibly get. And
for all intents and purposes, it's free. You know, it's just here. We just need to go out and pick it. And that's pretty cool. So we save a lot of money that way. And I also feel like our health is so much improved by that, that we're not nearly as susceptible or needing to pay for medical attention. For me personally, there's no downside, other than the fact that my wife worries about the fact that I don't make a whole lot of money. But, you know, and I do too, but as long as we can keep doing this, I feel like it's successful. Peace means to me a calmness and a kind of serenity. I guess it's kind of one of those things where it's, you're just kind of saying synonyms after a while. But I contemplated that maybe seriously for the first time, and I feel like there's three kinds of peace, maybe. I feel like there's a personal peace, like an inner peace, and then there's sort of the peace that you have within your relationships, close and, you know, marginal. And then there's sort of this big thing of this world peace, you know, that is kind of like ambiguous, and it's almost like global warming or something, or globalization, that's even better, where you don't really know what that means because it's never really happened, but you, it sounds pretty good, right? People want that to happen. But I think that the other two are completely within your control. So the world peace is something that may not even be possible, but the inner peace and the peace within your circle of people or your community is something that you can have a large part in. And so I kind of stick to those for the most part. What does it mean on those levels? I think that it means that you can kind of look yourself in the mirror and know that you're on the right track. You're not perfect. You're going to stumble and make mistakes, but you're working towards creating a better result, I guess, mostly with the way you treat people or your effect on the world through your contact with other people. I think what gets me closer to peace in my mind is knowing that I'm being helpful to other people, reaching out for people that need help. That gets me there. Having some integrity in my own thoughts and practices, my behaviors, you know, knowing that what I say and think and preach is what I'm practicing, trying to keep close to that, doing right by my family, being there when they need me, trying to be civil with them as often as humanly possible, and just learning about myself, learning about other people and what they need and how they work, and building things. I think building community is really important to me, because I feel like it's kind of the missing thing that we're needing in this society. We really need a trust in our community, not even on a person-to-person level, but on a level that's like, I feel safe here, I feel comfortable here, I feel like I can be myself here. Those sorts of things, where individuals with different lifestyles and backgrounds and philosophies can just do what they do without being fearful. I just feel like food is always in the equation. Like, everybody has to eat, right? I do think that this sort of farming can build community. It's inherent, really, in this type of farming that's the purpose of it. I think that's why there's so much fervor about it. It's a powerful thing that people feel close to and want to get close to and want to be a part of. It's a kind of a magnetic force, really. The community part of it is the reason why it's working. Maybe it's romanticizing it, but the way that I conceptualize farming of the past was that people had big families, but they also had neighbors that they relied on and shared the struggle with. And now everything's so convenient and leisurely that the struggle is over, you know, physically. But now there's no neighborhood. There's the guy with 2,000 acres here, and then you got to travel 10 miles over there to get to the guy with 4,000 acres over there, and they got everything they need. There's no community in the countryside, or it's really sparse. And there used to be a interaction between these small towns and the farmers, because there were all these small businesses that were related to the business of farming, and most of that has disappeared. So that void is what people are trying to fill with this type of agriculture. It's like they want to like get together for a Sunday picnic after a long day of threshing. They want to go pluck a chicken. They want to do things together that make them feel alive. I usually call what I do food farming. That's all I call it. I mean, I don't really call it organic agriculture because that gets technical, because now there's a federally licensed term called organic that you can't actually use unless you get certified by a federal agency. It's actually illegal to use the term. You know, the old term for it is truck farmer, which is basically a small-scale person or group of people that grow vegetables and fruit. But now you find people like me and others that are just like, oh, I'm raising 500 chickens, you know. That's really small scale, where you have nowadays 10 to 20,000 chicken laying operations. The idea, I guess, is that diversification is important in this kind of farming. I actually had a nickname by one of my high school friends. I was named Mr. Critical, because I'm very particular about what I do and how things are done. And if they're not done to a level that I feel is needed, then I let people know that. And that can be taken as negative. It can be given as negative, I suppose, too, if it's done the wrong way. I guess I just call it as I see it, and it rubs people the wrong way sometimes. And I'm working on that too, my methodology for that. But I think those two things can coincide. Is that I'm not really ever satisfied with my work, because I always can see room for improvement. It's a good excuse for me being an asshole. Well, I feel demanding because I feel so strongly about what I'm doing, for one, and I have very high standards on food quality. I'm always complaining about the lack of food quality in the world, so I'm not going to go out and just throw some weeds on a plate and expect people to cheer. But the other thing is, I feel like we need to raise the level of our expectations on everything, on the way that we act and the way that we behave towards one another, and the fact that we need to have analytical conversations with one another about important topics. We just can't tweet and text and whatever we do in shorthand. We have to have communication and follow through. I think that's lacking in our society. And I don't think a lot of people want to hear about that. I think a lot of people would rather just be comfortable and cautious and hang back. And I'm not too into that. I guess we were talking about assholes again, and how people can be jerks, but then you have to realize that you can be a jerk from time to time, and you think about, well, I'm not a jerk, but I was acting like a jerk, and then you think about the person that was acting like a jerk to you, and you're like, well, maybe they are having a tough time, and they're just not all bad. And then that made me think of my wife Eve's philosophy, which is very generous and open-hearted. There's been occasions when I've had some disagreements or conflict with other people, and I feel like they're treating me badly, and I feel like they're being a certain negative way. And she reminds me that people that are having conflict and behaving in a way that may be self-destructive or destructive to their relationships probably need the most help, and they probably need you to be the best person that you can be at that time in their life, you know? So instead of reacting to their behavior, which is maybe deplorable or at least something you don't want to be around a lot, you have to kind of rise up and say, well, they need my help, or at least they need understanding. And that's a difficult thing to do, I think. Stumbling blocks, it's a piece. I think distractions are the main obstacle. Getting involved in petty arguments, thinking about money too much, not really looking at life in a big picture, you know, like what's important. You're going to be here for a short while, but you're thinking about, oh gosh, I don't know, the shoes you can't have, or the trip you're not going to be able to take, or what somebody said about you, you know, these like really menial little things. Everybody's emotional. All humans are emotional. So you respond to things like that. But if you let them carry you in a direction that is a distraction from what's important, I think that's a huge obstacle to peace, because then it develops negativity, it develops fighting, it develops gossip. It's a destructive force, you know. And you kind of mentioned this before, the idea of differences and how differences are highlighted. And really it's somebody being petty and taking those differences because they're an easy target for an argument, right? You don't argue about what you agree on or what you're similar about. You argue about differences, and you create fights and conflict. I feel like the difference between conventional farming, which is one way to call it, and the food farming I'm describing are scale, for one, and it's also just philosophy and kind of cultural background. A lot of these conventional farmers are from farm families that are from farms like the ones I'm sort of idealizing from the past. They grew up with that. Well, some of these farmers have just gone on and on and on down to a business and tech and sort of agri-science direction, which has led in directly in the path that these large corporations want them to go. They're spending more money. Those successful ones are buying out the not successful farmers, and they're getting bigger and conglomerating and having this, you know, vertical integration and this economy of scale that the large businesses want them to have, because they're going to be more efficient and they're going to turn over more units. You know, they're going to take in more units of seed and pesticide and fertilizer and so forth and so on. And then maybe that guy's brother decided, well, I'm going to farm with horses like me and Dad did, you know. I'm not going to do that. That's crazy. So that is happening. More people are doing the first thing. So the food farmers just have a different philosophy, you know. They want to get back to farming with horses, you know, essentially. They want to do something where they get their hands dirty, they have an experience. They're not in a machine that does all the work for them, you know. I know that I'm not going to make a lot of money doing it. It's just not possible. A plumber could work for a week and make as much as I do, you know, in 2 months, basically. But I don't want to be a plumber. No. There's a quality of life. What I want out of life is happiness. You know, I want to be happy with myself, and I want to make other people happy. And whenever I've been involved in some kind of money-making operation, I haven't been happy. And so it's not something that is going to be good for me. It's I would get depressed. I would probably drink heavily. I would probably become sick soon thereafter, and I would then die sadly. So it's really not a choice at all. I mean, it's just not a choice for me. I mean, for a lot of people, I guess it's not a choice for them. They feel like they have to make a lot of money or they're going to be doomed to poverty. But for me, I'd rather be not broke, but, you know, I can feed myself and my family, and I feel like that's pretty darn good. And for reasons I stated before, you know, we're living a healthier lifestyle that doesn't require a lot of money. And so the pursuit of money is actually the opposite of what I'm trying to do.